So it's like a spiderwebby pyramid, if you will. You have the initial touch at the beginning, which is that ad campaign and the landing page, and then you have to think about this web of conversation that happens after.
Did I say that out loud?
Welcome to Did I Say That Out Loud, a podcast where Stu Eddins and Mariah Tang reflect on agency life and answer questions from our higher ed and healthcare clients about the latest in digital marketing, content, and SEO.
Well, here we are. All right, now we're coming up and we're going to talk about calls to action.
My favorite topic.
Yeah, well, this may be the first time we've encountered a topic where we have to limit our commentary.
Yeah.
It's a huge topic. There's so much going on with it. Quite frankly, we see a lot of opportunity for improvement in a lot of different places. Mm-hmm. The one thing about call to action that I guess we should get out in the open right now, a call to action is something that you want your visitor to do. You have to get in front of them. We can have calls to action that are a learn more button. It's a click here to apply. It can be anything out there that is a direction to do the next step.
It's your primary objective.
It is. And by the way, call to action may not be a final step too. If you know that you've talked to somebody or you reach somebody at the top of their decision tree, the very beginning of their path, the next call to action is probably to learn more or probably to talk to us or something like that. It's not going to be, okay, hey, glad to meet you. Buy stuff.
Yeah, we always call it the next natural step.
Yes, exactly.
Natural progression.
Exactly. But we do need to make sure, for example, we'll get into this later, that you understand the times where you may need to have two different calls to action. Because I think we may limit ourselves sometimes. But a call to action, a CTA. Boy, I can't tell you how many dollars I've helped people spend in ad campaigns that did not have a clear call to action, no matter how much we pushed to get one.
Yeah.
The way I tend to sum it up in my mind, people feel it's like it's rude to tell somebody what to do next.
Well, yeah. I mean, here I go. Don't let me get too crazy here. When you are writing your own content or creating your own page, however, whatever your role is, designing your own page, there's two objectives. There's what you want someone to do, and there's what they want to do. What you want them to do should match what they want to do. It's not, yes, of course you want them to enroll in your college or make an appointment or buy the thing. They want to figure out, is this the place that I should be doing that action? Once they've established that, then they take the next step for them. That may be, I need to read another blog about this. I need to talk to somebody on the phone about this. I need to read a testimonial. I need to download this white paper. Or it could very well be the final action. You have to think about all of those different ideas and paths that person is going through. Select the one that you feel is the most important at that moment and really drive them towards that. And the one thing is not always what you ultimately want. It's what they need to be doing where they are in that moment.
Yeah, and that really kind of makes sense, particularly when we feel that when we remember, people will have multiple touches with everything before they make a decision. Multiple touches with your website, with your competitor's websites, a touch from the billboard on the highway on the way home from the airport, something. They have multiple inputs along the same path to a completion. Understanding that also helps us understand that at some point there is going to be a last question asked and a last answer given. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we do need to meet them in the moment. That's something that Google loves bringing up. I feel like they believe they invented those words, meet in the moment. But it is well phrased and very descriptive. If you create your content in such a way that it does meet somebody in the moment, you probably have a very good idea of what they need to do next. Now, when it comes to call to action, that's the reason they came to the page.
Yeah.
I'm going to revert back to a marketing standpoint, a paid advertising standpoint. it's great that you're here from more the purely content standpoint, but we may have two different ways of approaching it. Mm-hmm. I just paid for this person to show up to my website, to my landing page. I paid on average, let's say in higher education right now, which is what I'm focusing on today for those clients, the average cost per click is in the neighborhood of $4.50 to $6, mm-hmm. in that range. I just paid to get you to come here. The other part of the bargain is, you know, you clicked an ad. Mm-hmm. You're expecting me, you're giving me 10 seconds to validate why you showed up on the page.
Right.
You clicked my ad, you asked a question in search, my ad was served to that question in search, you clicked on it because I promised to have your answer. That's what's at the top of the page. I should not land on a page that says, hey, let's stick with higher education again for a moment. I'm looking for an accounting degree. And I clicked on Mariah's ad that said, I offer accounting degrees. And I show up at the page, and the very first thing I see is, sign up to get an accounting degree.
Right.
to me, that's always been something like, and I hope this is an appropriate comparison, it's like showing up for the first moment of a blind date and going in for a kiss instead of a handshake.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's something that is, you got in front of yourself just a little bit there. Okay, you're at least acknowledging you need to have that call to action on the page. The other side of this, and more commonly, I see landing pages with the call to action buried, difficult to find, maybe even just text hyperlink in the middle of a paragraph. You know, you don't need to have a red flashing button that says do this next, but you got to make it easy.
Yeah.
If you're going to have a call to action, you also have to make it easy for me to answer that call. So don't make me jump through too many hoops. Don't make me scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page to find a 53 field form that I got to fill out.
Yeah.
Do something that gets me to my objective soon, but do it after you've assured me I'm at the right content page.
I think we need to paint a visual picture here for the listeners. So you have this very specific ad speaking to a very specific moment in which you're going to meet this person.
Yep.
That person puts in a question in Google, essentially raises, or Bing or whatever, essentially raises their hand and says, I have this question. This looks like an answer for me. They land on your campaign landing page or your website page, whatever your goal is there. Instant validation is what they need.
Exactly.
We have landed in the right place. This feels like a good fit for me in the tone and the voice and the message. Here is an action step towards the top if I'm ready to do that. And that's perfect. If I'm not quite there yet or I'm not quite convinced, that's when we start layering in the benefit statements, the what's in it for me, the here's how this will help you if you come here, here's how we'll support you. Putting that validation right up at the top is the most important thing, making it short and sweet, making it full of benefits, and then giving a really easy step. Are we asking them to call a phone triage where they're just going to get lost and then the operator doesn't have any idea what we're talking about because marketing doesn't communicate with others? Are we giving them a button to email directly to the person who can help them? Are we having them fill out a form? Whatever it is, it's got to be super simple on their end. Don't make them give you their social security number and blood type and mother's maiden name and all that crap just to get the simple thing that they want.
I do think shoe size may be important.
Shoe size would be okay.
Yeah. Anyway, the other part about this that's interesting is making the call to action appropriate for the level.
Yes.
Oh, I do want to go backward here for just a second. You said something very, very interesting at the top where you were talking about validating their arrival. I mentioned that something similar just a few moments before that. Here are the metrics. Here's the measurable thing that happens. I searched for something. Your ad promised an answer. I land on your page. I'm going to give you 10 seconds or less to assure me I've landed on the right page. That isn't talking about you up front. That isn't talking about what you want me to do up front. It's answering the question mm-hmm. in the first part of the page. The headline, the imagery that supports that headline, and maybe the first short paragraph. That's less than 10 seconds of content, and it has to hold my attention relative to the question I asked in search. Mm-hmm. So if we have all those things aligned, we all know we're here because in my case, I clicked an ad. Mm-hmm. Then tell me why you're best next, why you solved my problems better, what benefit I get from you, and now ask me, am I ready to commit? Mm-hmm. And what's the level of commitment? Mm-hmm. Because a request for more information is a very good mid-funnel type of a question. A sign up for an application or a register for an event or a class is a very bottom of the funnel commitment. Mm-hmm. Making sure that the question asked, the answer given, and the call to action all follow a logical flow is very important. Now, from your side of the world, which is more about the organic or the link built traffic coming in, you probably run into some situations where we have to have institutional voice first. Where
we have to.
Yes.
In air quotes.
Yeah. Where we have to talk about why we're the best choice, why we're the best provider of X in the region. And that doesn't tend to answer the question I asked. How do you overcome that? Do you find that that's a stumbling block to getting to that call to action? Or do you think you get better results up at the top if you dive into the topic first and then describe us toward the bottom?
Did you see it? Nobody in the audience can see that painful look that I just gave Stu. If you're a good strategist and you really have a good handle on what the objective is of the campaign and you really understand your audience, sometimes it's really easy to turn those statements into a benefit statement for the audience. I'll pull this out of the air. The best lung cancer center in, Michigan or whatever. If I am a person saying, where should I take my dad to get lung cancer treatment? That answers my question. You're the best. Groovy. I'm going to read the rest of your page. If I am looking for, something about what type of research does this hospital do, that's not necessarily going to answer that question. But it does, a statement like that at the top of the page, if you really think about who you're trying to reach, what their questions are, what their pain points are, you can phrase it in such a way that it's mutually beneficial for both of you. And as you were talking earlier about the mid funnel, the bottom of the funnel, the top of the funnel, I'm going to say something that will probably piss a lot of people off. But when you go into starting a campaign, you say, we need to get more students for this program. These are some questions they're asking. Let's launch some ads. And all you've come up with is the landing page and the ad and the creative and the budget. That's the tip of the iceberg, friends. You have to anticipate, if you're doing this strategically, if you really want this to be successful over time and not just for the course of your campaign, you have to anticipate what are the next set of questions for each level. What content can we give them for each level? Does it answer those questions specifically, and what are the endpoints there? So it's like a spiderwebby pyramid, if you will. You have the initial touch at the beginning, which is that ad campaign and the landing page. And then you have to think about this web of conversation that happens after. So in an ideal world, you have that whole web set up already, and you can tailor it using the data that you find through your ads. I'm going to say right now, nobody does that. Most organizations freak out in the moment. We need to do the thing. And then you end up with that situation that you talked about before. We're spending your money on this thing, but it's not set up right, even though we've told you to set it up right.
Yeah. The other thing I found is that a full funnel approach, either through content, ads, or a blend of both, generates a lot of pages, a lot of maintenance. And that's kind of scary too, because it has its own overhead of cost through effort, if not outright cost, if you're paying somebody else to do it for you. That's often why people who are doing the marketing side of the world will concentrate on the bottom part of the funnel. It's cleaner, it's more efficient. You've already made your decision that you are going to commit to an accounting class. Now we just got to convince you to do ours. Mm-hmm. But a full funnel approach is going to say, hey, you interested in business? How about accounting? Accounting? Here's some things about accounting that are going to answer questions you might have about it. Mm-hmm. And it all keeps raining down toward that pointy end of the funnel. Mm-hmm. I think that takes a lot of development, and it takes a lot of anticipation. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, probably more labor than most of the marketing web departments have.
I think it depends.
Okay.
If you have a smart strategy about it, you don't have to create 20 pieces of content to answer 20 questions. You can create 4 or 5. If you set them up appropriately, you can answer multiple questions in one piece. It doesn't have to just be focused on that one thing. So you maybe have, let's say, our end game is to get accounting students, okay? They have maybe 3 top questions that we've identified. Write one piece for each of those things. What are the next set of 3 questions? Write one piece that answers those 3 questions. It doesn't have to be like this magnitude overwhelming pile of content. And I see Stu giving me the goofy, what the heck are you talking about, lady?
No.
But yes, I mean, then, like you said, it all goes down to the pointy end, and you're all linking back to one major CTA, which is apply, but throughout you're providing different levels of answers, different levels of questions. Oh, go look at this resource. Oh, hey, here's some information about your potential job future here. Like this whole web, we call it career-focused storytelling, leads up to what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Answer those questions along the way. It doesn't have to be 10 deep dive, 3,000 word content articles to get there.
Right.
And the beauty of digital is you can update them frequently. So if those questions change and you're finding that one of them bombed and it didn't work out like you thought, swap the questions out, change the text.
The strange look I was giving you was because I was very happy that you just backed in to the discussion of why you have to have an understanding and a good understanding of the personas you service and the journey they have to take.
Yes, if you don't know who you're talking to, how are you supposed to phrase anything?
Right, right.
Yeah.
So yeah, and that does go back to a more fundamental discussion of that. Who is our target audience? Let's talk about who they are, let's define them. Mm-hmm. What is their likely decision path? We may not address every step along it, but we must know what it is, because folks, in higher education, the very top of the funnel question is, should I go to school? It's not. The top of the funnel is not whose accounting class should I take. If you really want to go to the top, is should I even go to school? And after I answer that, it's what's the best type of school? We could construct this all the way down. And there's content that can service every step of the way. And only at some point does marketing step in. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, advertising. It's all some sort of marketing. Mm-hmm. I should be clear. but there comes a point where you can apply advertising to the process. Mm-hmm. Okay, reeling this back into calls to action. There's going to be a different call to action at every single level. If the question is, should I even go to school? The call to action has to be something unique to that. And it's not going to be the same as, should I take accounting from you?
Right.
Right. So get the call to action balanced and appropriate for the step you're in. And if we follow what you just said, Mariah, and grouping similar questions together, they're going to have similar call to action.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There was a fairly recent construct that Google put forward in an article called The Messy Middle. Mm-hmm. You can look it up. I think we have a blog article out there.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah. And their concept gets rid of the concept of a funnel with a broad top and a pointy bottom. Mm-hmm. Fact of the matter is, it's not really a funnel anyway, it's a sieve. People leak out left, right, and sideways throughout the model.
Yeah.
But they're not really leaking out. What's happening is, something triggers them to want something, an education, a doctor's appointment, something. And then they go through, they drop into this, if you consider it to be a infinity symbol, an eight on its side, this loop of exploration and evaluation. They keep going back and forth through this. An RFI form is part of that. Mm-hmm. It is part of that exploration. I have a question. You're going to give me the answer. I'm going to evaluate it, which feeds back into my exploration. That's assigning a call to action to the appropriate level of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Now, the next step we want them to do is either sign up for an application or sign up for an appointment or something. That is because the last question they had was answered, and now they're proceeding forward to commitment.
Yeah.
And let's all agree, if I apply to a college or if I sign up for a doctor visit, it doesn't mean I'm actually going to show up.
Right.
But that is the next thing on our list. It's getting that indication of commitment.
Yeah.
And you're not going to do that with somebody who says, hey, do I even need to go to school? Yes, come here, sign up now.
Right. For the love of God, come to our school.
Yeah, it's just not going to work.
Right.
So keeping that journey, whether you use a funnel, whether you use that messy middle configuration that Google proposes, and editorially, that's the one I prefer, whatever it is, make sure that your content, your call to action, your everything else is based on that person's assumed journey. You will learn how it shifts over time and learn to shift your expectations. But on your construct of that journey, with the construct of not one, but several personas who are going to pursue this.
Yeah.
And realize that what you describe as a persona may not exactly match up with what something like analytics tells you are the actual people doing the following the path.
Yeah. With that messy middle, this brings up something that we were talking about offhandedly yesterday, is interlinking.
Yeah.
This is a whole separate thing, so don't let me go too far with this. But when you're doing this infinity loop, when you're answering all these questions and you have this categorized interlinking in each of those articles, even if they land on that base should I go to college article, you should have some way for them to jump steps.
Yes.
Be able to get to the, okay, now I'm ready to apply, because they're gonna go back and forth between all of these levels so many times, trying to validate their own experience, their own questions, like make grandma happy because she asked me about this one thing and I remember it from way back here. Make sure that those bunny tracks are always there that you can follow.
Right, and that brings up what I said at the top. Sometimes you have to have two calls to action.
Yeah.
You have to have the call to action for the next logical step in their journey, or you have to have the call to action that is the final moment because they asked their last question and they're now ready.
Yeah.
You present both, and they may not be the same action.
Yeah. And we'll put some links to some beautiful landing pages that we've come across out in the wild in the show notes
too. Yeah, that's great. CTAs, we could probably go on about this for another, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes and still not completely cover the topic. but I think that kind of discusses how we're looking at it, and when we advise clients, the foundation that we're operating from when we offer that help. When it comes to call to action, I guess the one thing to take away, don't be shy. Mm-hmm. Everybody showed up to do something. A casual browser who just happened on your page, the odds of them that just deciding to do what you want them to do is slim. They came to you with some purpose in mind. And if your content has that purpose, whether that purpose came from an ad or a embedded link on somebody else's blog, when they came to your page, they had some intention, some purpose, help them. Mm-hmm. And the call to action is the way you help them do that. It's the next thing.
Well said.
Thanks for listening to Did I Say That Out Loud with Stu Edens and Mariah Tang. Check out the show notes for more information about today's episode. And if you have any questions, concerns, or comments, hit us up anytime at staymates.com.